what's up? And we are back again for another episode of The Movie Newbie. I'm your host, Jibril Sahimi, and I'm joined again, not by the usual guys, but the ones from the last episode that we did last week. But we're recording it in the same day, so it's all good. I've got Lorna, my partner. How about you say hello? Hi.
Hi. Sorry, I should say that I'm a little bit ill. This is why I have a husky,
yeah,
low voice. Yeah. And you might hear me cough.
I thought you were growling.
Which Barbie are you?
The wild one.
The growler.
the sick one.
And we've got
Alan.
Omar, I wish I was Alan.
We've got Omar back in the mix.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Kens. Yeah. Hi, Ken.
Hello. Hi, Barbies.
Hello. Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Oh my God.
I guess you guys know what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about part one of Barbenheimer.
No.
The Greta Gerwig masterpiece, I think.
It was so fun.
Barbie. So, how will we get off with some initial thoughts?
I'm not gonna lie, I was so excited that it was all a bit of a blur. I booked my tickets like freaking months ago, mm-hmm, with all my girls, and it was so fun. We all dressed in pink. We went to the opening weekend, opening day in Leicester Square. It was so fun. And the minute it started, I just like didn't blink. And I was just so like,
ah! Well, before we get into it, we were supposed to have a guest today, Augusto.
Oh yeah,
but Augusto has fallen ill, and I know how much he's loved this film, and I would just love to have his point of view. But hopefully, in the future, if you're ready, we'll have you on the podcast, and we'll talk about it.
Augusto, yeah. R.I.P.
Bless him.
Anyway.
But so those are your initial thoughts, that it's a blur?
Yeah. it just happened. Fun. Well, like, without going into it too deep now, I am not the biggest comedy fan.
Ooh.
So I don't really go to the cinema to see comedies. I don't really choose to watch them. Mm. I like films that have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
But I don't go see a comedy.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I feel nowadays not that many good comedies are released, especially like kind of ones more for women, like rom-coms. Yeah. Like they were great in the 90s, 2000s, but nothing in the last 10 years really.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I loved this movie. I just like laughed, I cried, and I just
amazing.
Was so soaked up in it. And there obviously is some, you know, other parts about how the film obviously is kind of slagging off Barbie, but it's making a lot of money for Barbie.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, but shut up, it's fine. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's just a comedy, right?
Exactly. What about you?
So we spoke about this a little bit. We tried to save it for the pod, but let's save it for the pod. But anyways,
there's a few things, but I mean, for baseline, mm-hmm, I enjoyed it. I had good laugh. Like it's a long time since I had a good laugh in the cinema. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you, Lorna. Like big budget studio comedies don't happen anymore. Like the last one I could think of was like Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Right? With all the big names like Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr. And now you've got Barbie, it's got Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, like all these huge, Simu Liu, all these huge names.
Oh, there's definitely been something after Tropic Thunder.
I mean, yeah, probably, but I don't remember, right? It's probably the stoner comedies with Seth Rogen, which were, you know, whatever.
The director or the creator of all those, like Will Ferrell, Seth Rogen films.
Oh, like Judd Apatow, something like that.
The Apatow theme comedies.
Yeah, they were a bit naff, but Barbie was the first time where I was like, I recognize everyone in the frame, right? And they're all doing something interesting. They're either dancing, they're telling jokes, they're being emotional, or, you know, they're looking great in the costumes in amazing sets. And me and Jabril earlier were talking about like the kind of hierarchy of what we loved, and we spoke about the set design, the costume design, the production design, which was incredible. Like it was all filmed in, like, aside from the LA sequences, it was filmed in Barbie Land was in London. It was in Shepperton, I think.
Land.
And it was constructed in this really great.
In Sheffield,
yeah. Oh, yeah, up north in Sheffield.
Was it Barbie Land or Barbie Wood?
Barbie Land.
Wood?
Barbie
Land.
No, because they had like a fake Hollywood sign, but it said Barbie Wood in the back.
It's Barbie Land.
It's Barbie Land.
Yeah, definitely Barbie
Land. Wasn't there a whole thing about the map? Because basically all the Barbies are like made from China. So, their map was meant to be, like,
there was
somewhere.
I think
China were pissed about this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really good. I had a good laugh. I'm just sad when it was over, to be honest. I was like, could have done half an hour more of that, but I'm glad it didn't. Just because I missed the fact that there were constant gags and jokes. And
yeah, it was very quick.
Yeah, I felt like it, despite the mass product placement and the corporate cynicism it was doing, I think there was actually, you know, a bit of heart to the movie where, you know, there were moments where I was like, oh, Gerwig and Baubach have actually, they've allowed them to have some creative flair here, which I thought was quite good for a big budget comedy, which, as you said earlier, Lorna, is rare.
So it's a comedy. Or is it a children's film?
It's not a children's film.
Well,
I mean, it's a classic, like, children can see it. Like, I think my mom's neighbor's kid went to go see it.
Is it PG?
I think it's like a 12-8. Well, like for me, I was like...
Or is it like a 13?
I think it's in the same vein... Okay, I'm saying this in a positive note. Mm-hmm. In the same vein as a Disney film, right?
Yeah.
In terms of Pixar, right? You have a film that's made at a surface level... Like, kids can enjoy the colours, the stupidness, the slapstick. But then
the visuals
at its core, the undertones, like if you're a teenager or if you're going into young adult.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's a slapstick adventure, but then you also have these really emotional... Yeah. Because at the I don't want to jump to the spoilers, but there are moments where I'm like, oh, kids are going to see this for the first time and ask, what is that? And I think it's doing a really huge favour of opening up the world for children. Like, there are certain words that are used in the film... Where kids will ask their parents, what's a gynecologist?
Yeah.
You know? And it raises that conversation for kids. And I think that's really important, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My initial thoughts for this was I was also, like, really, really excited for this film to come out. And I think the marketing, like, the way they marketed this film was amazing. But when I went to watch the film, it wasn't that I felt a little bit, how do I say, let down? I wasn't let down, but I felt like I was like misdirected.
Oh, interesting.
From, like, the marketing that they gave, you know, like I didn't expect it to be this kind of adventure where it's kind of like that. What was that Disney movie with I'm always gonna do this, but you know, the girl from The Office. It's not her.
Indy.
Enchanted, you're thinking.
Enchanted,
of.
Yeah. It's not the girl from.
It's not the girl from The Office, but like the moving to reality, then going back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that whole kind of thing. I didn't realize Barbie was gonna be that way.
Mm.
But okay, let's take it as toy to movie.
Oh,
so you're gonna have to compare this to G.I. Joe and Transformers. So in that,
why,
and,
though?
Because they're toys turned into movies by this capitalistic thing. So, like, if you're taking G.I. Joe and Transformers as the main comparison, Barbie is amazing. It's one of the best films I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah, in the context of those.
Yeah, in the context of those, it's amazing. Because it provides a message that is positive. There's a talking point.
Yeah.
It invokes emotion in people, whether it's a woman or someone who's within the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
If it's someone who is a man.
Yeah.
Like, I think the whole Ken character was...
The
whole Ken character, it's like the whole, like, simp kind of, like, it's incel.
Incel,
kinda,
yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I just don't know how to explain that.
I think it's also quite... timely, right? Because a lot of the jokes in the film, like, are from content that has happened in popular mass media over, like, 10-15 years.
Yeah,
like the assertion of, like, there's a moment where they try to trick all the Kens into, like, they're trying to, like, do the heist, and they're tricking the Kens, and they're like, oh, tell me about the Godfather, you know, oh, you love so much, dude.
Even, like, the guitar.
Those
moments are so good.
Yeah,
I do have an issue with the script. There are moments in the film where I was like, what is the point of every, like,
I'm defending this movie till I die.
Yeah. So, like, if you want to go into this film, like, being like, ooh, plot, then you're going to find issues. Like, it surprises me the fact that, like, with a titular movie about Barbie being so overshadowed by someone called Ken, like... For the entire movie, the journey of the character of Ken was more impactful to me. Maybe because I'm a man.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was just confused with Barbie's journey and her connection to, was it Gloria?
I can't remember her name, but America Ferrera's character.
Yeah. Like, I didn't understand what that whole deal was.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point, though, because it's like, you know, for us, like, men are always quite overpowering, and like the storyline of him does start to overpower Barbies a bit, but obviously by the end of it, it is kind of her story, and I get it. And I was kind of like, wow, like,
my thing is, what was Barbie's story? What is the connection between her and like feeling existential, like dread with Gloria? Like,
it's the breaking out from her assigned role, right?
Yeah. But then at the end of the day, she just went and like, okay, maybe we can talk about this during the armchair moment, but there were a lot of things about the script that was like a very fuzzy for me,
right?
Where I kept on being like, but that doesn't make sense.
I wonder.
That honestly doesn't make sense with Barbie's.
Yeah, I mentioned this briefly too earlier, but I wonder how much of the script or the production was intervened by the studio or even Mattel, the company, toy company.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they interfered and asked things to be changed. Like, I think the script is like that. There are some messy aspects, but I think the through line is fine to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think obviously some bits aren't expanded on as much as would be, you know, perfect, right? Mm-hmm. For example, but I think also sometimes it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. So that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
It's like if you take out, like, ooh, I'm analytical about this.
Yeah.
And you just enjoy the film.
Mm.
It's a great film.
It's
like a film that I would watch more than, like, it's a film that I would go to again and again and again, and watch it and be like, oh, I love that performance, I love that joke, I love that thing, but there were certain things that I just found confusing and I think needs a rewatch.
I think what's interesting is that I think Greta Gerwig's been quite vocal about her stance as a filmmaker, because she's made films that are very feminist, you know they're kind of remake of Little Women, she did, etc., and Lady Bird, and I think she's spoken about her stance for a while, where it's like she's doing Barbie, which is obviously a big studio film, and she was like, I actually am just interested in making blockbuster films rather than making independent feminist films. And like, whilst Barbie has undertones of feminist kind of themes and kind of literature, her stance of being like, I just want to make movies that are really big and successful. Mm-hmm. I think that in itself is a really important statement.
Yeah.
Because she is now the highest earning, highest box office female director, like, ever in history.
Yeah.
Because of this film.
Insane.
Which is great.
Shall we move to the favorite scene then? Because I think, like,
all of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lola's got, like, what, 30,000?
I mean, there's so many great scenes. There's so many, like, for me, finding a favorite character or favorite quote was the most difficult thing.
I mean, I think, like, because, in the trailer, in a good way, the trailer showed you a lot of, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie and not the rest.
Yes.
But the trailer has so many good lines.
Yeah.
But I think there was, because they kept showing, like, when Ken wanted to stay over and they're like, oh, like, what do we do? Oh, I don't know. Which is, like, you've seen a lot in the trailer. But then in the actual movie, you see the kind of after bit of that conversation. And then it's like, oh, like, I want to stay over at your house, Barbie. And she's like, yeah, but I don't want you to.
Yeah,
and
so
just like, it's like, yes. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to have girls night. And you're just like, ah!
Or even when she was like, well, what are we going to do? And he's like, I don't even know.
That's what I mean. It's like you've seen all these lines in the trailer, but then when you get to the after bit of it, it's like so funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, Ryan Gosling, he nearly stole the show because he was so funny. Like, nearly. Because like, you're just like, oh. And I don't know if you can say it's a quote, but the whole song of I'm Just Ken.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I love that whole song. I've been listening to it while I'm running. And I'm like, I am Ken. And it's so fun. I love it.
Have you seen the hoodies that I am Kenuff?
Yes.
It's so funny. Like, my flatmate and I really wanted to get one. And we looked online. And it's like £52 to pre-order. And I was like, oh, that's Mattel coming in with the ching ching. Yeah.
Well, everyone's doing the whole A24 like merchandise.
God,
thing.
Yeah, we all fell down that trap. No comment.
Hey, what about you? What was your favorite?
I mean, the dance off at the end, like the
Excuse me, dance off.
Well, the dance sequence.
You mean beach off?
No.
No, that's in the first part.
That's the first part.
No, they say it all the entire time. They're like, I'm going to beach you off.
But it's the moment at the end.
Where they fight on the beach?
Well, it's the moment that precedes that, and they're in this, like, singing in the rain studio.
Yeah.
And all the cans are in the black.
They're all in the black and the purple
socks.
And
they're dancing in like, sequence.
My first thought was Halloween costume.
Yeah. I mean, it's really easy. Right? Just everyone wears black and dances really well.
Oh, I love that scene, though. And just, like, yeah, because even that song, it literally is, like, three songs within a song.
Oh, it's brilliant. And, like, the dance moves are actually really easy. I mean, yeah. I've been practicing. They're really good.
Also, Ryan, like, there's that famous video of him dancing as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I know
Simulu,
he also used to do ballet and stuff as a kid.
Really?
So, like, it was really cool to see both of those actors dance.
Yeah.
You can tell. So they were, like, yeah. It's really, really confident stuff. But that was the dancing sequence. And obviously, I love singing in the rain. So that was like, oh my God, amazing. I love it so much.
Okay, what was yours?
So mine was a toss up between Nicole Ken sequence of that sequence. Honestly, my favorite scene, and it was okay, so let's just give you, like, a little bit of explanation. I watched this movie about 6 hours ago in the middle of the daytime, so it was a 2 p.m. showing on a Monday by myself.
Legend.
I was the only I was the only person there, I guess, the only straight male there by themselves watching the movie. There were either, like, groups of women or couples. And, like, I remember looking at the couples, and the men were just like, why am I here?
No.
Because they were definitely, the retired section of the population.
Oh, I see. Fine.
Oh, I see.
The 2 p.m. on a Monday.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the scene that I pissed myself laughing, and it was also one of the most serious parts of the film, it was when Gloria was, like, talking to the Barbies and, like, giving them the real, like being serious with them, and then they, like, flip back into being Barbie.
Yeah. Oh,
like, they're
yeah.
not patronized anymore. No, mm-hmm. not patronized, but patriarchized.
Yeah.
But there was the part where Kate McKinnon's character is just doing the splits on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And she has the leg up on the wall during this entire, like, serious situation. And I could not stop laughing because her face was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, you're so right, Barbie. You're so right, Barbie. But then she has, like, her fucking ankle next to her ear. But so it just made me laugh so much.
Can she actually do this? Is it actually her doing the splits?
I don't think so.
Because fucking out. Impressive.
So, like, her physical comedy, like, she definitely played Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She played Kate McKinnon, but I think this was the best version of Kate McKinnon as a character. Because I think she did weird, like, if you were to match an actor to a character,
that would be
Kate McKinnon to Weird Barbie was the perfect casting.
She was so funny.
Mm. I think, just a quick thing before we move on. Did you ever see the SNL skit with her and Ryan Gosling where she broke character because...
Yeah, she did smoking, right?
Yeah, like, they broke character because they were laughing so much.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. Yeah, it reminded me of that.
Exactly,
a lot. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know if you've ever seen that skit, but it's probably the best skit I've ever seen. But I guess this segues perfectly into my favorite performance. Again, it was a toss-up for me between Ryan Gosling and McKinnon. What's her name again?
Kate McKinnon,
yeah. And like I said just now, like, she is the perfect casting for that role, like, for Weird Barbie. It was Weird Barbie, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think throughout the film, like, she was the one that seemed the most true. And that was, was like, hey, I'm Barbie. Hi, Barbie. Like, other than Margot Robbie and her, everyone else could have been any actor.
Yeah.
I think, like, in terms of the Kens, Gosling and Simu Liu were good. But in terms of, like, not the performance, but the star of the show was the set design and costume design, which I thought was excellent. I mean, this is very much like our co-host, Raph, who does this all the time. He's like, I love the score or whatever as my favorite performance. But yeah, I'm just going to put that out there.
Interesting.
I mean...
Go on, Lorna. What's yours?
Alan,
yeah.
Same name as my dad.
Oh, cute.
And my dad
is it a
Alan.
Character? Like, like, the character or Michael Cera's performance as a character?
I mean, like, he barely had any lines. He barely did anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so funny. And he's just so wimpy. And you're just like, oh. And then, like, he starts to fight as well. And you're just like, yes, Alan.
Yeah, he beats and up everyone.
But the history of his character, like his actual Barbie, mm-hmm. is so weird. It's just like, yeah. he's literally yeah. just made for Ken to have a friend, and they're exact same size, they can share clothes. And it's like, okay, Ken, mm-hmm. little side action. But then also, yeah, but his wife is Midge, I think.
Oh, is that? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But then Midge gets pregnant.
Oh, wow.
They're in like the weird reject.
Is that why they were one-offs then? Yeah. I imagine because they're like, oh, this Barbie was a one-off.
Mm. Yeah.
But should we still make her?
But that was pretty funny. Oh. But
Can I go on a side note? Funny, like, fun fact.
Mm.
So
trivia.
So you know the high schoolers, Sasha and her friends.
I know this fact.
Like,
I sent you this fact.
No, you didn't.
I read this. Don't steal this from me.
You didn't send me this fact.
I read this.
I'm going to say it first. Okay, the brats.
Everybody went to IMDb today.
The brats.
No. I actually saw this on Twitter, which is... Oh. Yeah.
Right, you knew this fact as well?
Yeah, they're all the Bratz dolls.
Yeah, because they have all the same names and they have the same like outfits and they're the same vibe as the Bratz. And
yeah. Like, which is why they're really rude to Barbie because they are the Bratz.
You did not send this to me, by the way. Just saying. But like I grew up, so I have a younger sister and I grew up with a younger sister who hated Barbie and she was a Bratz girl.
Oh.
Yeah, but I didn't notice that until I saw it on IMDb. Yeah. That they were all like Bratz girls. Yeah. Anyways,
also great to see Michael Cera back doing comedy. He's been away for like so long.
Yeah.
And he's still got it. Yeah. Still got it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a little bit of like the Netflix Arrested Development.
Yeah, but I mean the Netflix Arrested Development,
I don't watch it.
Yeah, I would not recommend.
But and also Margot Robbie, she was great. Like she's literally Barbie. She was born for this role.
I completely agree because it's like a performance is so good that you just don't really recognize it because it's like it fits them so perfectly. It's like yeah, of course,
exactly.
And yeah, I agree. Like Margot Robbie absolutely like smashed it.
Yeah. No. Exactly. And I was saying Ryan Gosling, he was super funny.
Yeah, it's
like him
quite,
in the real world. I was just like, you're so funny.
It's funny because loads of people, obviously, everyone's hype. You know, the hype was real. Like, oh, Gosling is incredible. Robbie, you know, they're them together are amazing. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But you see it, and you're like, yeah, you know what? They've got the chops. They got the sauce, as they say. They got the sauce.
Yeah.
Good. I'm gonna sway away because originally I was gonna say Ryan Gosling is the best performance in the film for me, which yeah he gives an incredible performance, but I don't want to be in the norm, so I'm gonna go for a wild card. I really liked Rhea Perlman's performance. So she is the one who plays the Barbie creator.
Yeah.
I thought because it came out of nowhere for me, I didn't know that she was gonna play this character of like the creator, and it signaled to me like, oh, the studio, Mattel and stuff, and Warner Brothers have allowed Baumbach and Gerwig to sprinkle in a bit of existentialism, a bit of like, let's consider our place in the universe.
Yeah.
Let's consider where we are in life, you know?
Yeah.
I just thought that was really great. And then she has that weird, like, kind of like sidebar moment in the chase where Barbie enters the room and it's like, who is this? What am I doing here? And then it's quite an emotional bit, but it doesn't reach its climax because then she comes back at the end and then they hold hands and then they see all the videos and clips of all the women. Yeah. And the second fun fact, all those clips of the women and the families that appear at the end are from the cast and crew. It's their home videos.
Okay. Let's be real
about
though.
That moment,
let's be real.
That's pretty
sweet. Like, where else would people get footage like that? If
they're
gonna make a film,
I mean, you can go to like the
stock.
What they call it, stock footage. Yeah, stock footage. Yeah.
There's stock footage of like just random families.
Yeah, I mean that's why they call it stock footage.
Yeah, but isn't it easier to just get your own?
No, I mean, it's like, not easier.
No. But like, okay, let's say Margot Robbie is gonna be in the film. Just get videos of Margot Robbie as a kid.
No,
but
I guess mean, coming from like my industry, it's not. It's like,
does that
you
not
pay
exist?
Maybe £100-£200 for one video, and that's a lot cheaper than hiring like five people to go to people's houses.
Yeah.
Set up all these things to get shot. So that I agree is nice. That that's actually.
I'm not saying people are setting up things to get shot, but it's just like actual VHS archival footage. So it's like as if I did a movie at the age of 40. And they come to me and they're like, hey, do you have any photos of you as a kid? Do you have any videos that we could use? And you're just like, here.
Yeah, but imagine also, that and asking like 100 people.
Yeah, it's the acquisition of that material is what...
Interesting.
You can just go to a stock company website and they'll give you... You say, I want this, and they give you it.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, if you have hundreds of cast and crew, you have to go to each individual. Oh, do you have home video footage? Yeah, it's at my mom's house in, like, Canada.
Yeah.
And it's on tape, and I've got to transfer it to digital.
I think both are as difficult as each other.
No. It literally is a search engine for stock footage. Like, I want, like, a mixed race family smiling next to a Christmas tree. Bam, I have it.
Yeah, one second. I know, like, for 100%. I know you can get it.
Yeah.
But it's just, why would you when you have access to a crew?
But also as well.
Anyway, maybe let's agree to disagree.
I'm not arguing. I'm just asking why not.
It was also filmed in the back end of COVID, so there was also those issues. I mean, they did it, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we should just, like, acknowledge the fact that that is what actually, I mean, for me, that's what I was like, oh, okay, this
I
has
totally
heart.
I forgot about that moment.
I watched it and I was like, oh, you know what?
I think the I was heart like of this seven movie is really cute. Brilliant. So,
I mean, my favorite performance segues into the next section. I'm just worried about time. To the favorite quote, because Ruth is her character's name, but Rhea Perlman has a quote where she says, humans only have one ending. Ideas live forever. And I just thought that was really touching.
It was. I think I did cry.
Yeah, I thought it was quite beautiful. Yeah. And, like, obviously, everything shifts. The status quo shifts at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Into a very outward-looking, progressive, thing. Actually, that quote surmises the film quite nicely. And that's quite bold for a studio movie.
Yeah. I think I've got, like, two. I think the first one is when Barbie is at the bus stop and there's that old woman. And I can't remember the exact lines, but Barbie's basically just like, oh, wow, like...
You're so
and you're kind of waiting for a joke or something, and Barbie's just like, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And the woman you think is, again, going to be like, what? And she's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, my God, maybe she's a Barbie.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, actually, no, maybe she's just a woman who actually, like, likes herself, which is quite rare, because obviously all women are a bit more, like...
Well,
you know,
also,
negative towards
also
her
it's the first
stuff.
Time Barbie has seen an old woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like this really watershed moment.
Yeah. But it's so nice to have like that where it's like, oh, aging is beautiful. Yeah. Like it's a natural thing.
Third piece of trivia, quickly, that the old lady is played by Anne Roth, costume designer.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Famous costume designer.
Yeah.
For the movies.
Well, apparently they wanted to cut that scene out. And well, Greta was like,
fucking glad they didn't.
If we don't have that, the whole film doesn't really have a heart, basically.
And like,
oh. Yeah.
And then my other favorite line. No, we're not line. Yeah, we're still on line.
Yeah, we're still on quote.
Yeah, oh. quote.
All right. Oh, sorry, I told you again. I already said my quote at the start.
Oh, amazing.
You said you had two.
No, I already said it. I was like, oh, yeah, when Ken's like, I want to stay over.
Oh,
she's like,
yeah,
no,
okay.
Really.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember.
Yeah, that's it. That's a classic.
I have a third.
Okay.
When you see, is it the like, you know, Miss America beauty
yeah,
the, pageant?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh
yeah.
My God, it's the Supreme Court. Anyway, okay, yeah, sorry, Jabril.
All right, well, I'm going to go with a Ken quote. And the Ken quote is, I'm just Ken, I'm enough, and I'm doing great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, because like, for me personally, this might be a little bit deep, but I grew up like not feeling enough, you know, like I didn't think I was like smart enough or sporty enough or creative enough or good enough, like good enough as in like well-behaved.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I just feel like I'm letting everyone down. And that extends to what I think this movie does really well. And it's the message of being a man or being a woman or just being who you are. And it's like seeing like how, yes, you're trying to be who you are and going down a more negative path and or going a more positive path or not knowing what your path is. I think that's what this movie does really, really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So shall we move on to the armchair moment?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel
does anyone have a screaming...
Go first, Mara.
So for me, the armchair moment, if I could change anything or expand on anything, it would just be America Ferrera's character, or Gloria, I think. Just expanding her role, her position, just because I think bit more could be done. I mean, not that it needed to be done. I think it'd be quite nice. But she is, because she is a great actor, right? Because I watched Ugly Betty. Like, yeah, I was addicted to Ugly every week. I loved it. She was amazing.
She was great.
And it's obviously great to see her back on the big screen. I just feel like I wanted to see more of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a more trivial change, so aside from that, I would love to have seen Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach as director Barbie and Ken. I would love to have seen the camera turn around at the end and they're in the chairs.
Yeah.
And she's like, cut. And he's like, no. And then they cut or something like that.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. And because she's an amazing actress and he's a really awkward actor. Like in the Life Aquatic, the Wes Anderson movie, he has a very small role in it. And he just he stood in the back of the scene. And he, like, you don't notice him, but when you do notice him, it's just really awkward. He's still there, like, I don't want to be here. So I thought that would have been quite nice. Like, either the camera turns and she's directing and he's writing and it cuts. Because, like, the film is quite meta, like, like naturally. There's a lot of fourth wall breaks. Because I think, like, Greta Gerwig's an amazing actress, and now that she's solidified herself as this blockbuster director, like, I think you could take a bit more she could have taken a swing, and I think that would have been really cool to sign off the movie. Because the narrator broke the fourth wall, being like, to the movie makers, this is not right that Margot Robbie shouldn't be this attractive.
Yeah, notes to the filmmakers. Because like what Margot Robbie says, I'm so ugly, or I'm not beautiful anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, notes to the filmmakers, like, maybe don't
hire the most beautiful woman in Hollywood or something.
So those are my armchair moments. What about you guys?
Yeah, so I might have alluded to it in the beginning, but I did have a little bit of an issue with the script. So there were certain things that I just found a little confusing, like the connection between Gloria and Barbie. There are so many smart things in the film, like, and smart, like, symbolism and metaphors that, you know, touched me in a way that I was like, oh, this is really thought-provoking. But then at the same time, there were loads of things where I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, they could have gone into the whole existentialism thing with being a doll and then, like, meeting humans. I thought that was a cool touch point, but they didn't really get into it. Then there was the whole, like, mother-daughter kind of dynamic between Sasha and Gloria.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, like, there was no kind of, like, turn or, like, seeing Sasha's character... Sasha's character being convinced of the whole Barbie world. You know, they're in the car, and then all of a sudden she's like, we need to turn back. And I'm like, but how did you come to that decision? You know, there was a lot of...
Yeah, I think it was a bit quick. It was like, okay, like, she hates her mom or whatever. And then suddenly it was like, a bit of a flip.
I wanted to see more of that connection. I don't know. Like, for me, the best, in terms of characters, the best dynamic between a mother and a daughter that I've ever seen has been Everything Everywhere All at Once. You know, it wasn't like a positive interaction between mother and daughter.
Interesting, yeah.
But I really loved that interaction because it seemed real.
Mm.
While in this one, it just seemed like your average, my daughter, she's so different from me. And it's like, I'm the old lady and I love Barbie. And it's like, that's where I was finding the issues.
Yeah.
I swear.
I just wish there was more.
Cause I swear, because I hate when they do this at the end as well. I swear the teenager, like, I think she wears more of a pink, like, cropped outfit.
Yeah.
And her hair is, like, off her face.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate when they do it. I remember I noticed it for the first time when I watched Incredibles. And you know Incredibles, the black-haired girl, and she's got her hair over her face, and she's always wearing black.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, she has her hair pinned off from her face, and she's wearing pink. And you're like, why?
I hated that.
And I feel like they kind of did that to the teenager, but it was really subtle. It wasn't, like, you know, she was just in the background, I think, of the scene. But I was like, but it's controversial, because, like, even for me, I grew up as a tomboy. And I never wanted to look girly at all. I always wanted to wear baggy clothes, boyish clothes. I think I wanted to be like one of the boys.
Yeah.
And I hated being feminine. But in recent years, I've like kind of reconnected with it again. And then watching this movie, I've like loved to love pink again.
Yeah.
I used to hate pink. I was like, oh, this is such a trashy, like stupid color. Like for me, I had always thought pink was just dumb.
Yeah.
But now watching it, I'm like, oh my God, I want to embrace hot pink. Like, I love pink now. So, like, it's so fun.
And everyone embraced it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
So again, with this like teenager changing, I'm a bit like, I'm also like, fuck it.
I think that's an interesting.
I was going to say, that's the whole thing. It's like, do you decide to be like, fuck it? Like, I don't really care about the story. I want to care about just this creative, like, beautiful piece of entertainment. Like, I just found, I think we spoke about this before the podcast, but I found the message a little confusing.
Sure.
Because, like, yes, it has undertones of feminism, like queer empowerment, but then, like, the movie ends with her going to see a gynecologist and, like, kind of making her part a part of this patriarchal world where, like, she is just I guess brought down to being a woman who has babies. And it's like, she spends the whole film trying to be like, but like Barbie world. And
no, but I think the whole thing is that you think she's going for her first day at work or her first interview.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just to see what is down there. And even I'm like, what is down there? Like, does she pee?
Yeah. Because she in the movie, she was like, I don't have this.
Yeah. And he was like, he doesn't have genitals either.
And Ken's like, I have all the genitals.
Yeah.
I'm a man. I have everything.
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't read too much into the end. Mm. So I'm like, for me, it was a nice surprise because I thought she was going for a job interview. And I was like,
I actually thought it was the funniest gag in the movie.
Yeah, I laughed.
Because I laughed because of the shock. Like, oh my God, I thought she was going to work. And then the double entendre to that, I guess, is, I mentioned earlier, is that kids will ask, what's a gynecologist?
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Why is she going there? What do they do? And then then kids will have to talk to their parents about it, and then they'll understand, women have to go through XYZ.
Just to me, it just screamed out, like, Will Ferrell being the executive of this film.
Go to a gynecologist to check out your... No, you don't go because you're pregnant.
I get it. It just seemed like...
It's good to check out your vagina.
Yeah, you got it. Everyone got to go to...
Have you not been
to
a gynecologist?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No comment.
No, but I was going to say is that the whole... Like, it was just so surprising that the end of the film ended that way, where I was just like, for real? Like,
yeah,
that's what you're going to do with someone who's having an existential crisis that they've...
But she's not having a crisis, though. She doesn't look panicked. She was happy.
No, but the whole film, she was having an existential crisis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was... I guess you could say it was resolved by the end, right?
Yeah.
Because she saw... Because Ruth made her see life.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, this is what it's about. Okay, let me go live my life.
Yeah, so living
and
her
she
life
is... She is
I guess so.
I guess.
What's wrong with getting to know your body?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like my first thought was like, oh.
You're a man. It's because you're a Ken.
Oh, no.
I highly disagree with that. I just thought that it was like...
How would you want it to end?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. How would you like the movie to have ended?
I mean, that whole like... car scene I thought was just really random. Like, I thought it could have just ended in Barbie Land.
No. I think you need
to see her like in the real world, and you kind of need to know that obviously that
she could live in the real world
her own. And
I mean, there's like loads
slightly
of things
leaving
that...
it for a second film. I kind of really don't want them to do a second film, because I'm like, it was really good, just leave it like that. And then also it was really funny to see the husband.
The Duolingo.
I found that hilarious. That was very funny.
And he's trying to learn. Oh, that's so funny.
Because, like, I think the good thing is that, like, they make it seem as if Ken is every man in the world.
Yeah.
But in actuality, every man in the world is the husband.
No, I think, like, they also are making fun of him. Because they're like, oh my God, should we tell Dad what we're doing? And they're like, oh, he'll be fine. And then, yeah, he was like doing the Duolingo, like,
it's
not
funny
panicked at all where they were.
I know a load of Kens in real life, all the different ones, and the husband. Like,
I know guys who are addicted
to Duolingo, and, like, I know guys that love themselves.
Like, I relate more to...
Alan.
Not Alan. the husband.
Okay, the Duolingo guy, yeah.
Yeah, I relate more to that character where he's like...
I mean, yeah,
just
I wouldn't be dating you if you were, like, Ryan Gosling, Ken.
Or Alan? Would you date Alan?
You wouldn't date Ryan Gosling, Ken?
I mean, visually, yeah. Maybe he'd be, like, my side.
Okay, like, in my opinion, Ken was the most rational character ever. because like he was living in a world where it was run by 100% women. And like in any world, 100% women or 100% men is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So his rational reaction to the to what was going on was to be like, oh my God, patriarchy, like this works. And I feel respected. He, like, actually, one of my favorite quotes of the thing was also like, she asked for the time.
And, oh, yeah.
And I found that
so
hilarious.
Funny.
It's like, oh, wow. Like, they actually care about, like, who I am.
Yeah.
And
or they need something from me. Like,
yeah. Like, the journey of Ken for me was way more, I don't know. I understood. Maybe it's because I'm a straight man, but like I understood Ken's journey more. It concluded better than Barbie's journey. Because with Barbie's journey, I was still like,
I think Barbie's journey was a lot
what
more
is this?
Subtle, like, though.
But are you Ruth's daughter? But are you a strong woman? But are you like also someone who doesn't need to be labeled? Like, there were so many questions that maybe is just. Just because I'm a man, that I just will never understand.
I think that's a fair point.
And this
point.
Movie wasn't made for me, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, I disagree with that.
No, for sure.
I disagree with that. I think that movie was made for both. Well, it was made for everyone. Mm. I think for a movie to have an agenda like Barbie, and an agenda that is unwritten and also written. So I think people went to see Barbie with an expectation of it to be this huge feminist statement, this big film. And people, you know, some people came out being like, it completely wasn't. It was the opposite, or it only was a tiny bit. And I think whatever you take away, the discussion is happening, right? Mm.
Yeah.
You're talking about XYZ, you're talking about ABC. And it's like, well, actually, that's the point of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know. I think for me, as a straight woman, I suppose, like Barbie.
This is why I would have loved to have
Augusta
here, because I wanted to hear the.
I think he would have just like screamed through the whole.
Was he a big fan?
Yeah, he loved it. He loved every minute.
Just embraced it all, yeah.
And we just embraced it. We were like, there's certain films where you can read into if you're not, but I think this film is just fun. Just have fucking fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's so, for again, like, I don't watch that many comedies, so most films, the kind of films that I like to go see, make you laugh, make you cry, da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
But this film just made me like have fun, and
I agree.
Go and watch a. But I hate seeing like shit movies that are funny to laugh at. Like, you're laughing with this movie, and it's really fun, and it's also got like, you know, I was paying attention the whole time. I was like, it was so. But
I was gonna say, like, we've reviewed a film on this podcast called Booksmart.
Oh,
and I
interesting.
That film was
that
one of the best,
funny,
like, I wouldn't say feminist, but female gaze.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Film that's comedic.
Yeah.
And I feel like this film gets close to being a female gaze, but there are certain aspects of it that that weren't, in my opinion. You know?
I don't know, because I remember Booksmart, everyone being like, oh, it's just the female version of, like, Superbad.
It was so much, it was so much more
than
that.
And I was like, oh,
opinion.
But stop comparing these movies.
Yeah, why
like,
do they have
Barbie
to be
Barbie is also standalone. Like, it's
I mean, mainly because it was fucking, what's his name's younger sister?
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill's younger sister is the
I think it's his cousin.
No, I think it's his sister.
It's his
actually his sister.
Yeah.
Booksmart's a really good comparison, I think.
Yeah.
You know, female directed movie.
Yeah.
A female directed studio comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't have a lot of famous names in it. But it had up and coming stars.
Yeah, they had a lot of young people.
A lot of young people.
Everyone from Sex Education.
Yeah, and like,
so
like loads of teenage American stars who have gone off to do Netflix TV shows, whatever.
Yeah.
But Booksmart is, in this essence of Barbie, a self-contained comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's rare because, like, I don't remember a comedy of this scale, of the scale of Barbie, for example, particularly how it reached so much. Like, the audience for Barbie is...
Yeah.
It's more than Oppenheimer. Like, it's crazy.
Because you went to go see it at, like, 2 p.m. on a Monday. Mm-hmm. But I went to go see it on a Friday night. And, like,
It was an event.
Yeah, it was an event. And, like, I've not been to a cinema like that in ages where it's, like, everyone is going to, like, watch it. Everyone was so excited. People were screaming. People were laughing. Yeah. It was, like, such a good, like, fun experience. And I totally miss that with cinema.
Yeah.
It's, like, rare to get that in a movie nowadays. Cool. Anyway, my armchair moment... I mean, I just had loads of fun watching this movie, and it was really fun.
Mm.
Fun, 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 fun.
Great, thanks, Lorna. So, Jabril, what do you...
I'm the fun Barbie. But yeah, there is that obvious thing of like how this movie is kind of slagging off. Is it Mattel?
Yeah, the toy company, Mattel.
But this film is also making them like millions and millions of money.
I mean, they had to
money.
Give the okay, right?
I think, yeah. And also, I wonder...
But the fact that, like, you know, Barbie's slagging off their, like, you know, their corporate offices and stuff like this.
Dressed in black.
Black, all these men's suits. Like, yeah, it's like... But then again, we're making loads of money for them. So it's a wee bit like... But yeah. I'm also like...
I mean,
that's where the whole like Transformers, G.I. Joe kind of like conversation comes into it. I'm like,
it's funny because I recently rewatched all the Transformers movies.
Oh, we watched one number one the other day.
Yeah. Really?
I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, really?
I watched.
It's so orange.
Yeah, it's so orange.
So
and then
orange.
I watched Beasts.
The new one.
Yeah, I watched it like the other day. I'm not seeing it. Because I was so bored.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
You've not seen a movie, Mark?
I mean, Michael Bay didn't direct it, so for me that's a big thing. Anyway,
well, Bumblebee was supposed to be good, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Bumblebee, but I saw the clips on TikTok, but I'm not going to dwell on that. But I think it's interesting because obviously the Transformers franchise as a toy kind of thing, yeah. Like the moment that Michael Bay took that on, I think as an action spectacle blockbuster, as it was advertised, it draws in a specific audience, right?
Yeah, it draws in like it just what I like to call the Fast and Furious backwash.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I'll take that.
Like a Fast and Furious backwash plus younger people.
Yeah, and like the movie made the reason they're so popular is that obviously Gung Ho America, you know, we get the robots, etc. But also like the idea of the toy, the robot as a toy works universally.
Did you watch Transformers as a child?
I saw a few of the animated, but I played a lot of the video games.
You played a lot of the video games. Yeah. And like, Lorna, have you watched... did you watch the Barbie movies growing up? Like, I watched the Nutcracker Barbie movie.
I've not seen any of them.
I've seen a bit, but I actually didn't replay with Barbies growing up.
Right.
To be fair, the Barbie toys were pretty sick. The houses were cool.
I know, but I just kept ripping their heads off. has anyone
watched the Lego Bionicle movie?
I have the original Bionicle movie on VHS.
Okay, so it's similar vibes. The Barbie movie, similar vibes, animation style.
I mean, the original Barbie movies.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah, they're like horribly animated.
Memes of them. Yeah, and same with the Bionicles thing. And like, I watched Transformers as a kid as well. Yeah. And I watched G.I. Joe as a kid because like back home, we got shitty 80s cartoons.
Sure.
And all of those things were created because the toy manufacturer decided to make the TV. It wasn't the other way around.
Sure.
Like with like, let's say Star Wars. Star Wars had the film and then they were like, ooh, we can make merch.
Yeah.
This was merch. And they were like, nah, we're going to
make content.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel like Transformers, G.I. Joe, terrible with it. Let's not even get started with Lego Bionicles. But this, for the first time ever, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, Barbie.
But they like the attention to detail was insane.
Yeah,
the freeze frame outfits when they were throwing them out.
Oh yeah.
But even just like I love because I watched kind of behind the scenes, you know, with all the set and the costumes and stuff. And like, oh, it's just so funny because like even when she opens the fridge, it's like stickers.
Yeah.
And I remember when you get all the houses, you get all the stickers that you stick onto the furniture.
Yeah.
And like the oven that is flat. And then like the fact that, it's like the milk carton she pretends to. And like even Margot Robbie's movements is how you play. Like even they were saying that like you never take Barbie down the stairs. You just magically just pull her off and put her into the car.
Yeah.
And even how she goes into the car is straight legs kind of flat in. And obviously the foot moment as well was really good.
Yeah.
And walking on the water, because the fake water as well. There was like so much detail. Like everything in it had a reason to be in it kind of thing.
I think
all the costumes.
It's interesting because a lot of people have commented about the way the car sequences. So, you know, the kind of like the side shot of like when they leave Barbie Land.
I wanted to mention that as well.
I'll call it the side profile shot,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people went crazy because I was like, oh my god, they built the kind of like the backdrop and the moving floor, and it's like, oh, wait until you watch like a movie from the 1950s or something. But I think it's interesting that those, because obviously it was filmed on the back end of COVID, so only so much could be done in a movie studio.
Yeah.
But I think the as you said earlier, the care and attention to the set and the production design.
Yeah.
Like, insane. Like, if Asteroid City didn't come out this year, Barbie, I think, all technical.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Production costumes. Like,
but it's just like, it clocks into like kids' imagination so well though, because like, yeah, when Barbie is flying, whatever, like you are doing her in slow motion.
Mm.
And like they've done it so much in the film, like even with the car and stuff, it's like they're not really in slow motion; they're just moving the car really slow.
I have a question.
Yeah,
what did you think of the 2D sparkles?
Oh, interesting.
You know, when there were certain things that happened, like Barbie would like do a flip. I mean, like this is just an example.
Yeah,
or
I know,
like
yeah.
I think it was Ken and Ken.
They'd swap outfits and they'd sparkle,
and then it would sparkle. Yeah. You know, there would be like white.
It just reminded like me of the because. In the UK, when we used to watch like kids' morning TV on like Saturday morning or whatever, like seeing the toy adverts and like kids would play and sparkle on the toy appears. It just reminded me of those. Like it reminded me of an advert.
Oh, that reminded me of the dog with the fake poo.
Yeah,
exactly. So funny. Oh, so my
that's
gosh.
A real.
I mean, like,
because like in my brain, I was like, I can imagine what this. Advert would be like,
yeah, exactly. It's so good.
But then also,
the last time anyone's seen an advert like that?
I mean, I don't watch kids' TV anymore.
Yeah,
no,
that's
what
I'm saying. Like, I haven't like because
I mean,
we should. None of us have like I mean, I have nieces and nephews, but they're not really like my immediate nieces and nephews. They're like cousins and stuff. So I don't watch TV with them.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I don't know what these things look like nowadays.
But I mean, I say that. It reminds me of the adverts, but I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I was like, it reminds you of the adverts. Like the movie is reminding me of an advert for the toy.
Yeah. Well, wow. Yeah.
I should go buy the toy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mattel have done the work.
Wow.
I'm going to go buy a Margot Robbie Barbie and a Ryan Gosling Ken, which I assume it will be in the range of Mattel stuff, but that's beside the point.
I'm so excited for Halloween this year. Everyone's
going to
dress up as them.
I mean, when you went to the opening night, everyone was in pink. That's crazy. I went on Saturday afternoon, everyone was in pink, and I couldn't hear the first 5 minutes of the movie because everyone was like crazily excited.
Yeah, even like my friends have gone tonight and everyone's still in pink.
Really?
And I'm like, what the hell? It's been like nearly 2 weeks now.
It's funny because on social media, all I've seen from mutuals and stuff, it's like photographs on that weekend and even the early in the week of like, in cinemas, they would put up notices in the doors being like sold out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like Barbie screening sold out, don't walk in. And it's like, it works. Mm-hmm. And like, it's interesting because Mattel have announced that they're going to make loads more movies of like Uno, Hot Wheels, directed by J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're
really?
Doing the whole universe. Yeah.
And
which
it's like,
So this is a conversation that we've had so many times on this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, do we need more franchises? You know?
I think this last week and a half has proven that no. Oppenheimer's made over 400 million, but at the time that we are recording this, and it's like, who is gonna, you know, on a whim go see a 3-hour biopic about a man who's a scientist about quantum mechanics making a bomb?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's made nearly $500 million.
Well,
but because it says directed by Christopher Nolan.
That's for another episode.
Yeah.
But I was just gonna say, like, I was watching the trailers before the film today because I watched Barbie today. And
which ones did you see out of interest?
So. The Marvels.
Oh, okay.
Franchise.
Yeah.
Wonka franchise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God, it was awful. What else was there?
Burn.
I mean, there were.
Did you see Blue Beetle?
Okay. And I'm going to say Blue Beetle is DC's version of Ant-Man, I guess. But
it looks awful.
So I loved Cobra Kai.
Oh yeah, Cobra Kai. Yeah,
Cobra Kai, the TV show, and this is the main character of Blue Beetle is the main kid from from Cobra Kai. So I was like, oh, it looks cool, but I'm like, just like, this looks so lame. You know, like, I'm just tired of fucking franchises. And I'm not gonna lie, I love Marvel, I love Star Wars, I love like all the nerdy stuff. Like, I read the comics, so I'm coming at it from a comic book standpoint. But I'm just like, halas, like, I'm done.
What do you think? Because it's been reported recently that IMAX are not going to show the Marvels in IMAX because Dune Part 2 has exclusivity.
Oh.
So the Marvels is being shunted out of premium screens for standard screen because Dune Part 2, IMAX is like, that's what we want to support.
Sure.
And obviously Dune is now a franchise because it's more than one film.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there are rumors that they've all signed on for a third film, which is for Dune Messiah. So it's like, where do we stop? Like, Timothée Chalamet is even rumored to have signed on a contract for a third film.
I mean, I'm not even surprised by that.
I've not read the book.
I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, so okay, that's just very worrying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's very worrying because this Dune Messiah is just this like, unless it's Dune, like the other books are like. Okay, let me. How do I? I need an analogy.
I mean, I've not read the book, so
I need an analogy. If Dune is like a green apple,
right?
What?
Dune Messiah is like a dragon fruit.
Like
even a banana.
Yeah. What?
Like the it's just so out of the world of like what it is. It's such an acid trip. Like it's so different. But okay, before we get. Super sidetrack. Shall we give a rating, and then if we want to talk a little bit more, we can talk a little bit more.
Is there a mystery question before the rating?
Fuck, yeah, the mystery
who's
question.
Fucking doing this podcast? Is it a Mars?
I totally forgot.
So only because I have the thing in front of me, right?
So much. And did someone think of a mystery question? Yeah.
If you could make a movie about a toy, what toy would it be?
Oh, I mean, I loved Playmobil growing up.
Playmobil. But that's already happened.
That's already happened.
It's already happened. I swear there was a Playmobil Anya Taylor-Joy movie.
Like under what? Anya Taylor-Joy?
Anya Taylor-Joy was the lead in the Playmobil movie. I'm like 100% sure.
Well, I mean, like, she told me about Playmobil and I was like, I don't even know what this is.
It's like Lego, but simpler. Bigger. Sorry.
I love Playmobil. That's what I wish she had done it.
It's like more European Lego.
Yeah,
like, basically, the Lego movie was so funny and it was so well done with stop motion and stuff like that. And then they did the Playmobil movie. I've not seen it. I've just seen the trailer.
Mm.
But they make them bendy. And I'm like, no. They are
stiff.
They're stiff. And it's just not fun. And I feel like they've just ruined it like for that movie. So that's over.
Yeah. So you'd make a better version.
Mm. Well, no, because again, it's too similar to Lego, I think. So it's kind of done.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to think of other toys.
What toys did you play with when you grew up? As a little sidebar question.
What's your favorite toys?
I used to have Action Man. I don't know what this is about me. Maybe that explains my Tom Cruise obsession. I don't know.
So when I was a toddler, I'm half Singaporean.
Right.
So my mom had loads of educational toys.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I was very much like, you know, it was loads of like, I never really had like a G.I. Joe or like action figures. I never really played with those things. But Bionicle was one, like Legos.
Yeah, Ken. Bionicle. I had loads of Bionicle.
I had loads of Legos, but there was this thing in
toy?
So it was just like you learn maths, you learn grammar. Like it was like a bunch of like fucking, like I remember I had these things. It was like every year you get a video game, but the video game was like your year. So it was like year three, and then you learn like year three stuff.
Oh shit.
But it was like made into a game, and it was like I'd play on my computer. But anyways. Let's say when I was like 10 years old, there was this Japanese thing by this Japanese company called Tamiya.
Right.
And there was an anime that went along with it. And it was basically you build a little car,
right.
You put it on a track, and then you race the cars.
Oh,
so there was
it
was kind of like Beyblade, but before Beyblade.
It was like Scalextrics.
I don't know what that is.
We had that in the UK where you had rails, and you put the car on the rails and you pull the trigger and it goes...
Okay, no, so it's not like that. It's literally like you have to build, like you click things out of this piece of plastic.
Oh, I see.
You, like, build it into a chassis. Like, you put batteries. There's a motor. You have to do wiring and shit. Mm. Like, it was, like, mini mechanic.
Right, okay.
And it's kind of, like, along the same lines as Beyblade, if anybody's played Beyblade.
Yeah, I love Beyblade,
like, you'd,
yeah,
like, pop the things out and,
yeah,
build
and
it.
Screw it in. Yeah. Mm.
Exactly. And I remember playing that. And just so you know, I was a Bahrain champion.
Really?
Because main thing.
Because
I was in Singapore. I would go to Singapore, get all the Japanese shit.
Oh, I see. Oh.
And then in Bahrain, they wouldn't have access to the Japanese parts. So all they had was, like, ready-made ones, which were so heavy that, like, you can do it.
Wow.
So if there was a live-action film, it would probably be garbage. It would probably be along the lines of that live action Dragon Ball Z film that they did with just an all white cast.
Oh yeah, that famous one. Yeah,
yeah, with the guy from Breaking Bad, right?
No, it wasn't Aaron Paul. It was someone else, but he was popular in TV at the time.
It wasn't Aaron Paul.
It was really bad. He was like Goku. He played Goku, right?
Yeah, he played,
right?
Goku. Yeah,
awful, awful. Yeah,
yeah,
I remember.
It was terrible. Yeah.
What about you, Lorna? What did you play with when you grew up?
Well, yeah, mainly it was the Playmobil.
Playmobil, yeah.
But then I had to Polly Pocket, which, controversially, I was chatting to my friends.
A Polly Pocket, sorry.
Yeah. And
they are making a movie of that. You didn't know?
Was
you
the
know?
Scottish accent, yeah, that got you?
Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket.
A wee Polly Pocket. But I realized that my friends would play with Polly Pockets that were pocket size, but mine weren't. They were a bit bigger.
Oh, she had like an off-brand one.
She's a year older, so
it's
like...
It's the same as like Tamagotchi.
What? No.
I can't.
Polly Pocket.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Polly, it's just a little tiny doll that would
doll
fit in your pocket.
Oh, I don't know.
The name.
So apparently, well.
But they would have like rubber clothes that you'd put on.
Yeah.
But rubber. I was such a, like plasticky, so like you'd squeeze it on anyway. But
it's
for
like
me,
durable,
like,
for your pocket.
So was this a quote-unquote girl thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But basically, I was such an impatient child that I kind of rinsed through toys quite quickly. So Barbies.
Oh,
I brush their hair and end up
pull
ripping
heads
their heads off.
Yeah.
So mum was like, I can't keep buying you Barbies. So then I'd get Polly Pockets, but then I'd end up ripping all their clothes. So mum would spend ages like super gluing them. And she was like, I can't keep doing this.
You're
so
really...
then Playmobil was just the fucking rock solid toy that just would not break. So then I think that's what I played with.
So you were a really frustrated child. I don't want to get into psychometrics here, but
you're the kid in
Finding
Toy
Nemo.
Story.
Oh yeah,
what's his name? Well,
the guy with the black T-shirt.
Yeah, no, what's his name?
Sid.
Yeah, no. But like, who's the real life guy from London
actor
that looks like him?
Will Poulter.
Will Poulter. Yeah. I was gonna say Will Arnett for some reason, but Will Poulter.
Well, very, very different.
Yeah, very different.
But the Polly Pocket film is being directed by Lena Dunham, who did Girls for HBO.
Oh, that's cool.
And
wait. That's actually happening.
It's actually happening. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. I don't know if there's been casting, but it's happening. Yeah.
But they're making Uno, and I'm like, what the fuck is this going to be?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you make
a
card?
Yeah.
We'll see
how it goes.
I think a really cool one would have
really
been that
cool
that car movie.
Cars.
Something racers.
Transformers.
Speed Racer.
No, so I don't know. Back in the
Wacky Racers. Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah, wasn't that a film? No.
No, it was only cartoon. It was like a series.
But there was a film, not Wacky Racers. It was the Japanese one. And there was, it came out in like 2010, I think.
Are you thinking of Speed Racer?
Speed Racer.
Yeah, but that's an amazing film.
Was it? Was it amazing?
Yeah.
I don't remember it being amazing.
Oh man, you guys should revisit. I rewatched it recently. It's unbelievable. It's really good. It's an actual comic book movie come to life. It's great.
Yeah. Because I loved that cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah, and it had very much Spy Kids 3 energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Because the CGI is like it's meant to. Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
to a general eye, it's garbage. Yeah. But when you watch a film, you're like, okay, I understand. But it's directed by, I think it's Lana Wachowski. I don't think the two of them did. I think it's just the one. Maybe the two of them did it.
Right.
But it's got a lot of heart. It's really, it's really beautiful. And the last few minutes are great.
Anyway, watch that. We're going on lots of tangents.
Sorry, we're on a big tangent here. I'm really sorry. But Tamagotchi would be mine to make the movie.
I was going to say Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because you could do so much with it.
Yeah.
It could be like the Pikachu with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh no, I don't like that movie.
It's not the best, but the
same kind of.
But like, you
idea.
Could just go off yeah. of like what you think it would be.
Mm. It would either be Tamagotchi or I don't know if you ever had a Nintendo DS.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But do you remember the Dr. Kawashima's brain training?
Yes.
That's what I'd yes. like to make the live action movie about.
It was like mini games.
Yeah, it was like brain
it was
puzzles.
Like another version of the. Oh yeah. No wait. Yeah,
and there was Professor Layton as well that came out afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But. A movie about Dr. Kawashima's brain training would be so funny.
Oh, what about like Cooking Mama? I used to love. Joe actually bought me that in lockdown.
Really? Oh, Cooking Mama is so
Lorna's
good.
Flatmate. Partner. I'm Lorna's partner. I am. This is me.
I've got several kids in my Polly Pocket.
I'm just an Alan.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to ratings first.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And then I want to know afterwards.
Oh, it's a bigger question. Interesting.
Yeah. But bigger question.
Surprise question.
Well, I mean, everyone.
See, it's good to see it coming.
It's you already asked your bonus question for Barbie, right?
Yeah, I asked the question of what toy
the,
film
the
would
toy
you
thing,
like to see.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I'll give mine. What would be. Lorna, what would be your Barbie profession?
Oh.
Lorna, because we have Ken professions.
Yeah.
Beach.
Yeah, it's just beach, guys.
Well,
sorry.
It'll be of the like.
My instinct was to say Barbie teeth.
But Barbie teeth?
Barbie dentist.
This Barbie does teeth.
Barbie teeth. Yeah, because in the real world, I'm a video editor. But I feel like in Barbie world, that'll be a bit boring. And I feel like Barbie teeth, you can
no,
have like...
No, that's not what Barbie is about.
Oh, sure. But Barbie teeth, you could have like a little pop-up, like, you know, dentist studio.
So you want to be a dentist?
Oh,
no, I want to be Barbie teeth.
Can we talk about that, like, ambulance that pop turned into a like a medic place?
Yes. Oh,
that
yeah,
was
that was
so
sick.
Cool. That's like what all these Barbie things were. They were all
I'm
like
pretty sure
suitcases
that
you just open up and fold things down.
I'm pretty sure that was an actual set.
Yeah,
no, everything was real.
Everything was real.
Yeah.
Everything was real, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean like an actual like toy set.
Yeah.
Oh, like they miniature.
Yeah, I think they just expanded it. Yeah, because I recognized it.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah. So, what would be your Ken profession?
I feel like you said that we already had ours chosen for us.
No, as in like it's like beach.
Oh, it's like beach.
But you can't give yourself an actual profession. That's the thing.
So it has to be like just beach.
Yeah, so like they're like
you're
not a
that
lifeguard.
Ken that, like,
you're not a lifeguard. You're
beach.
On
the sofa.
No, I am not that. I do not
like.
You'd be like. I do not like the Godfather.
I am film camera. You know, it's. Just
I
like,
am film Ken. Yeah, yeah. That's it. I'm film Ken.
Film,
but I'm not a film
Ken.
Bro. I'm cinema Ken. This Ken does cinema. There we go. Mm. But I don't
like
the Godfather.
Beach, like beach to lifeguard, like green to apple is orange to orange. No.
Oh, so the complimenting.
Yeah.
I don't know, cinema to television.
Okay, yeah, so like television Ken. Television Ken.
Television Ken. Likes to sit on the sofa and drink alcohol while watching movies. There we go. No, that sounds really sad. Sorry.
I'd be guitar Ken.
Yeah. That's much easier.
I feel
That's
like I'd
true.
Be guitar Ken.
Like do you play the guitar?
Yeah, I've been playing since I was seven. The reason why I picked up a guitar
no,
was
don't
because tell I... You. No, it's because I was like, girls like that.
Is that
to your Ken?
Have you played for Lorna?
I don't, not really. I haven't been like, Lorna, I'm going to play a song for you.
Well, just be aware, Lorna's seen Barbie. She knows all that. Playing the guitar.
I mean, I have a album of photos on my phone called Lorna Rolling Her Eyes.
Lol. Amazing.
And I'm sure that would make her eyes roll.
Exactly.
Playing the guitar, like it's a skill. So well, that's good.
Oh, you're Thank a skilled you. Ken.
You're a skilled. Skill I'm Ken. Not a skilled Ken. I can touch type. How about that? This Ken can touch type.
What does that even mean?
You can type without looking.
Mm. Oh wow.
Yeah.
I was doing.
I'm
that
surrounded
today.
By.
Sorry, if I was in the movie, I'd get like Emma Mackey's Barbie to come over and be like, "Look at this," and I'd just type and look at her. And I'd write a love poem to her. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so shall we do ratings?
Yes. Lorna, let's go.
I would give it 10 out of 10. Oh my God, what was his house called again?
No.
Matcha Loco.
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Ah! Yeah, let's
was
go.
It Matcha? No.
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
I just keep saying Matcha.
And the only reason I know this is because I actually wrote that down for my rating.
No! I love when he said that was his house.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. I love it.
I mean, it's a great line.
Thank you. What's yours?
Mine would be, I mean, I was going to use Mojo Dojo Casa House for mine, but I will have to change that. So I'm just currently thinking.
Oh, that's why you looked at me.
Yeah, I was like, thinking of alternative. Okay, I will, Greta Gerwig's Barbie gets 8 Dancing Kens out of 10.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks for stealing my thing, Lauren.
You got rubbish.
I'm along the same ones as you. I'm going to say 8.5. Yeah, 8.5.
What is the 0.5? Like, what pushes it over an 8 for you?
So I've always said 8, 9, 10. So up to 7, it could be, like, generally liked among people. Yeah. So, like, if I were to be, like Shawshank Redemption. Let's say Shawshank Redemption and I'm, like, 3, that doesn't make sense. So, like, Shawshank Redemption is top 10. So, for me, that's up to a 7. Mm. And 8, 9, 10 is how much I like the movie.
Oh, interesting. Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, for me, Barbie is, like, an 8.5 because I don't think it's 10 out of 10 for me personally.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think,
boo you.
Like, generally, it's a 10 out of 10. But, like, my personal preference, it's just halfway there.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
So do you think your opinion will change if you watch it again?
Oh, for sure. Yep. For sure. For sure. Because, like, this film, there was so much going on.
I swear to God, in, like, the Ken fighting scene on the beach, there was, like, people smoking in the back. I really want to watch it again.
So, now,
like,
now you've said that. Yeah.
In my mind while watching it. And I just, like,
It's a really quick film.
Because, like, the first, like, 10 minutes is, like, giving you a brief history of Barbie, and it's fucking fast. But see, there were sequences where I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
I felt like there were bits where I was like, get on with it.
Do you think there should be a sequel?
No.
Like, I loved it, and that's why I'm always like, just leave it.
Yeah,
leave
I agree.
It as it is. We don't need to see her living in the real world. Like, we have that now. It's like, we don't need it.
Unless it's not about her.
Oh, interesting.
Unless
but
it's
a different
not
Barbie.
About Barbie. Like, I mean, it's not about Margot Robbie's Barbie.
Yeah.
It's not about Ryan Gosling's Ken.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, like, within the universe,
but a separate story.
Separately.
Oh, my God. Apparently, the Wardrobe Department, for, like, you know how Ryan Gosling comes back and all the guys start to transform their looks.
Yeah.
Apparently, they took inspiration from the people that were, like, the Trump supporters that invaded.
Oh, like January 6th stuff.
Yeah.
That makes,
like,
total sense.
All the
sense.
Fur and the red and stuff. I was like,
reminded me that there's a bit where all the Kens return to the house and they're all galloping.
Yeah.
That probably was my favorite scene.
There was even the bit where they're in the fight. And one of the Kens is trying to resuscitate a fake horse.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
So many funny things like that.
Yeah, attention to detail was so good.
The detail is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's something so special about one-off. It makes it so unique, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Little Women didn't get a sequel.
Yeah.
We don't even know what happened to the Little Women after that.
Yeah.
I think obviously just because it's the corporate nature of the product of Barbie. Mm-hmm.
It's made money.
Let's make another one.
No, I just really hope they, like, leave it as it is. Because, like, the whole fun thing about it was her seeing Barbie in the real world kind of thing. Mm. And, like, Ken's story was so funny that it's like, I don't know how they would top it or bring anything new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to recast, do something new.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we haven't really talked about Will Ferrell in it.
Well, yeah, like, so forgettable.
It's funny because I'm not a fan of Will Ferrell, but recently I've come around on him. I think I love
Will Ferrell.
Really?
But I was just like, you didn't need to be in this film.
I think he did, because for me, the whole thing was kind of like Elf. Like Elf leaving the real world and coming into a big city.
Yeah.
And it's that vibe. And even the traveling.
Yeah.
The Barbie world is very animated. And in Elf, he's traveling from to New York and he's animated.
I completely.
Like that.
Wow. That's like.
Yeah.
So
wow.
For me, it gave me big Elf vibes of being in the big city. And it's like, like you're going to get eaten up. But
like
you're so
even
nice.
Using
that you
characters
don't.
Using actors.
Yeah.
In positions where they're like, for example, James Caan.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like James Caan.
Like you're casting against type.
Yeah.
And then you're casting really into type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's, yeah, I agree. I completely missed that comparison. Fuck. That's really good.
Oh, that's like so clever. On the nose as well. It's perfect.
Whoa,
yeah.
This Barbie watches movies.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm clever.
Director Barbie.
Barbie teeth and Barbie clever.
Executive Barbie producer teeth. Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Click, click.
Well, thank you.
Clicking my fingers.
But yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was just, and I want to go see it again.
Yeah, I'd love to go see it again.
Yeah.
I totally will.
Okay. Well, Amar, thank you so much for coming on to this episode.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It was great. Orna, thank you for being here. It was great. It was awesome.
I hope you recover soon.
I hope you recover soon. Well, you're on the next one too, so it's fine.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. By that point, my voice is going to be like this.
But yeah, this is an awesome episode. I think it went a little bit longer than what we usually do. But yeah, what am I talking about? Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Yeah, so don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, give us a 5-star rating, please.
Thank you, Amar.
Yeah, thank you, Amar.
Thank you, Jabril. Thank you, Lorna. It's been great.
I'm sure we'll have you back.
First time I've been doing all this, so I love it. Well, it's great.
You sound like a pro. Yeah,
that's too kind. I'm just happy we can drink during this.
So see, if we did the Kentish Town one, we wouldn't have been able to do this.
Oh, really? Oh, thank God.
I have an ongoing thing where I say, fuck Kentish Town.
Oh, really?
Pirate Studios. Yeah.
Oh, ew.
Well, yeah, because they like cut off our thing 2 minutes before it was supposed to end once. And I was really mad.
I mean, they have great pubs there, but sure.
Yeah.
Pubs that's
are
not
great. I'm talking about Pirate, the Pirate Studios.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, thank you for listening, guys. Love you a long time.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, bye.